That's special. Aren't you thankful for him? I was thinking about that lamb where we'll never grow old. That sounds pretty good too. Amen. I want to invite you to open your Bibles tonight to John chapter 11. John chapter 11 tonight as we continue our study there through the Gospels. And we've been studying about, in chapter 11, Jesus' friend Lazarus, who passed away. And Jesus has come. Last week we saw how Martha ran out to meet Jesus when she heard he was coming. We saw the proclamation of Christ, just the faith that Martha expressed about Jesus, her hope, and the truth that she saw in Jesus. And then we saw the proclamations of Jesus himself about the promise of eternal life, the promise of the resurrection, and the power that he had. And we're going to pick up in verse 25. John 11, verse 25, if you're able, let's stand together. Jesus saith unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had said so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was, she saw him and fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, groaned in his spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Let's pray together. Merciful Father, as we come before your throne of grace, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come and to sing your praises, to have a time to gather around the Word of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help me to preach your Word by the power of your Holy Spirit tonight. Help me, for I'm nothing without you. Lord, I pray that you'd open our eyes to see the great love, the great passion that you have for your people. Father, help us just to see your power in the resurrection. Lord, help us to believe more. Help our unbelief. And Father, help us to live in such a way that we can bring others to faith in Christ. Lord, we love you. We pray that you'll help. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Two basic things I want to share with you tonight. First of all, we notice the passion of Jesus Christ. I want you to go back to verse 28, and I want you to see what happened when Martha had ran out to meet Jesus and they had that interaction. He said, Listen, I am the resurrection and the life. He said, If you believe in me, even if you die, you will live. And if you live and believe in me, you'll never die. And we talked about that last week, how Jesus is referring to the rapture. If you pass from this life now, your spirit will go to be with the Lord. And but though you are dead, you will live. But if you're alive until the coming of the Lord, Jesus will catch you up into the sky, into the air, to be with him forever and ever, and you will never see death. Amen. You believe that? Amen. Martha believed it. And when she had that interaction with Jesus, she goes back into the house and gets Mary secretly and says, The Master, look at verse 28, The Master is come and calleth for thee. Can you feel that tonight? The Master is come, and he calleth for thee. Now that was a message that Martha could take to Mary, but friends, it's a message that I can give you tonight. Amen. The Master came, and the Master is calling you, and the Master cares for you. Amen. He came to us, John chapter 12, verses 44 through 46. John 12, 44 says, Jesus cried and said, He that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me, seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into this world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Jesus Christ is that true light that came into the world. And we know he came into his own, and his own received him not, but praise God, he came to us all. Amen. And he gives light to all that will believe in him. He came to us. Remember 1 Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. God was seen. God was made known. God was revealed to us. God was reality in the flesh. Then he was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angel. He was preached unto the Gentiles, believed on into the world, and received up into glory. Amen. Friends, we see that Jesus came for us. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 15. 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Martha ran to Mary and said, the Master is come. Aren't you so glad tonight that the Master came? He didn't stay in glory. He came down. He didn't stay in his glory. He became flesh. He didn't stay away from us, but he came to us, and he was made one of us so that he could save all of us who believe. He came to us, and he calls for us. She said, the Master is come and calleth for thee. You remember what we often call the last invitation, Revelation 22:17? Revelation 22:17, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. That water of life that springs up in those who believe, that Spirit of God that lives in us and gives us life everlasting, it happens because we believe. Because we've turned away from our sin and our unbelief, we've turned to faith in Jesus Christ alone. We're made alive from the inside out. And notice that he says, the Spirit says, come. The Holy Spirit draws people to the Lord. The Holy Spirit convicts us of our sin. He convicts us of our unrighteousness. He convicts us of the judgment that's coming. The bride says, come. It's the job of the local New Testament church to call the world to repentance and faith in Jesus. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And then he says, let him that heareth say, come. Have you heard? I get it. Martha heard. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and life. And she runs to Mary and says, the Master has come and calls for you. And she comes to Jesus. And Jesus is going to perform an incredible miracle to bring many to faith in Christ. And if you are born again, if you've heard the message, then God is calling you to say to others, come. Come. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. It's a beautiful thing when you figure out that's you. Amen. Whosoever surely meaneth me. Amen. Matthew 11:28-30, we've looked at these few verses a lot here lately, but Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Jesus says, come unto me. He invites us. He calls us to himself. Matthew 4, verses 18 through 22, we see Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee, when he sees Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. And in Matthew 4:19, he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Straightway they left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw the other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and they immediately left the ship their father and followed him. And I want to tell you, Jesus calls you to come unto him and rest. He wants you to come to him in obedience. He wants you to come unto him in faith, but he wants you to come and keep coming. He wants you to continue following him. He doesn't want you to just come so you can say a prayer one time and be saved. He wants you to continue coming to him, continue falling at his feet, continue worshiping him, continue obeying him. He came to us. He calls for us. And can I just remind you tonight, Jesus cares for us. Does Jesus care? I think there are a lot of people who have a faith in God and maybe a faith in Jesus, who have tragic circumstances come to their life, who have overwhelming pressure come into their life, and they come to a place where they question whether Jesus really cares or not. I think there are a lot of people in the world today who don't believe that God loves them, because if God loved them, then there could be these tragic circumstances. I wonder, If some here, or maybe even Mary and Martha, wondered a little bit how much Jesus really loved them, because if he'd have been there, Lazarus wouldn't have died. I can assure you, Jesus cares. Oh yes, he cares. His heart is touched with your grief. Look at it. In verse 32, Mary was come where Jesus was. She saw him and fell down at his feet and saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And we read verse 35, Jesus wept. Most of you know that I'm kind of a big crybaby. It's okay. I own it. My mama told me when I was little it was okay for boys to cry, and I believed her. I've learned the hard way it's not always okay. It's hard for me to see other people hurting. I'll talk to you. Those of you who are in here Wednesday night, we started a new series, Under Pressure. We talked about dealing with grief. It's a pretty tough lesson. I try to keep it together when I preach funerals, but thankfully God's given me the ability to keep talking even when I'm crying. It's apparently a unique ability. I try really hard to keep it together when I preach funerals, but I'm going to tell you, it's the hardest thing when I see the family hurting. It's tough. I'll think I'm going to keep it together, and then I see the family weeping. I see the family hurting. I see the family crying, and it makes me want to cry. Jesus had that kind of compassion. Jesus had that sympathy. Jesus felt their pain when he saw her weeping. She fell at his feet. She didn't just say, hey, where were you? If you'd have been here, my brother wouldn't be dead. No, she fell at his feet crying, weeping, heartbroken. Master, if you'd have been here, then Lazarus wouldn't have died. She was heartbroken. She was weeping. And when he saw her weeping, he saw the other Jews, their friends, come, and they were weeping. Jesus wept. He cares. He cares. He cared about them, and he cares for you. So much that when the Jews saw Jesus weeping, they said, behold how he loved him. Do you see that verse? It's verse 36. Behold how he loved him. And it's got an exclamation point at the end of it. That's not by accident. That's there in the text. Jesus, when they saw his great love, they were amazed by it. They said his love for Lazarus was great. His love for Lazarus was exceeding. And I want to tell you that his love is exceeding great. Amen. His love is an abounding love. His love is a limitless love. His love for Lazarus was great. And friends, you could just put your name in the verse. Behold how he loves you. Amen. He loves you. He cares. He cares. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. He cares for you. He loves you. He came to us. He calls for us, and he cares for us. We see the passion that Jesus had for that family. And he comes groaning in himself to the grave. The question is asked, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? The people had seen the power of Jesus. They saw, apparently some of them knew, that he had taken a man who was born blind, who had never been able to see, and Jesus gave him sight. You remember that? And that's one of the most glorious passages in the New Testament. Hey, when they come and question that young man, and they say, hey, who made you able to see? He says, I don't know. I don't know who it was. All I know is I was blind. And now I can see. Isn't that good? They said, if he had the power to do that, why couldn't he have caused this man not to die? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, coming to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus was groaning in himself. Jesus, have you ever had that? A groaning in your spirit? Just agonizing inside? That's what Jesus felt because he loved that family. And notice in verse 39, we see the power of Jesus. Verse 39, Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. It's a pretty rough verse, isn't it? And we don't think about that kind of thing today. When a loved one passes away, we call the funeral home and they take them and they embalm them and they preserve the body for a long time. But in those days, it didn't work like that. Somebody passed away, you had to anoint them. You had to prepare them for burial. You had to get them in the ground quickly. He's been in there 4 days, Lord. The corruption's already taken over. There's no need for you to go see him. There's no need for you to see the body. There's no need for you to pay your last respects in that way. You guys understand? We need that, don't we? Everybody grieves in their own way, but most of us, when a loved one passes, we want them to prepare the body. We want to be able to see them. We want to be able to say goodbye. Amen. And that's the idea that Martha and Mary had. Jesus just wanted to see him one last time, pay his last respects. He wasn't here when we buried him, so now he just wants to see him one more time. But they didn't understand the purposes of the Lord. Amen. So many times we don't understand the purposes of the Lord. Verse 40, Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Didn't I tell you, Martha, if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? These statements that we see in this passage apply to so much more than what we see in this passage. If you will believe in Jesus, you will see the glory of God. And I don't know if she got that perspective. She knew Jesus would raise Lazarus up at the last day. She believed that, and we believe that. But he was talking about seeing his glory now, seeing his glory presently. And we understand that if we believe one day, we'll see his glory. But I want to tell you, we can see the glory of God now. We can see God do glorious things now. We can see God do amazing things now. We can see God do great works now. And we'll see his glory one day. Verse 41, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Jesus prayed out loud sometimes, not because he needed to, but for the benefit of those around. I want these people to know. You see, Jesus has the power of life in himself. But he wanted them to know that he was the one sent from heaven. It was vital that they understood that he and the Father were one. It was vital that they understood that he was the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about him with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. Now I know that we've talked about this before, friends, but I just think this is glorious. Get the stone out of the way. We don't want to do that. He's already, corruption's already taken over. He's already begun to rot. You don't want to do that. I told you if you'd believe, you'd see my glory. So they reluctantly roll the stone away. Then Jesus calls out, are you with me right now? Hey guys, are you with me right now? He called his name. The one who was dead. He called his name to life. Do you know that if you're born again, he called your name? Amen. Lazarus, come forth. Now, you guys know I love to imagine. You know what I believe, and I believe that Lazarus was down there in Abraham's bosom. I believe he was down there in that place of paradise. That place where when Jesus was on the cross, he told that thief that believed in him, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. That place where when the poor man, Lazarus, when he died, he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. I believe he was down there in paradise in a good place. Maybe he was hanging out with Abraham. We don't know. But he was gone. His spirit was not there. It was just his body. He was dead. What's that mean? It means his spirit left his body. That's what it means. So his spirit was gone. His spirit was in paradise. Maybe he's hanging out with Abraham. I don't know. Moses? Who would you hang out with? Don't tell me it's not cool to think about, because it is. Amen. Amen. I'd just be happy to be there. And then he hears a voice. It's a voice that he knows well. It's a voice that he can do nothing but obey. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He heard a voice. And he heard his name. And he was rushed out of that place of paradise and right back into that clay body. And he opened up his eyes. Wow. He stumbles off of that slab of stone, wrapped up in grave clothes. I mean, guys, listen, he looked like a mummy coming out of there. Still got the stuff wrapped around him. He can't even get out of it on his own. He just kind of stumbles out. I can just imagine what it was like when he opened his eyes, when he came back and the breath came back into him. Life came back. His spirit rejoined to his body. He comes to life, and I can imagine the shock of that. He's been gone for 4 days. And I could just say this. The only reason I can imagine anybody ever wanting to leave paradise is because Jesus called your name. He stumbles out of that grave, and they loose him. Now, we don't have a lot of details. Jesus says, loose him and let him go. But I'm going to speculate for a second, okay? I just have to believe that like Martha, his sister, and Mary, his sister, had run and fallen at the feet of Jesus. I just have an idea, dear friends, that that's right where Lazarus went. Amen. Don't you imagine? Amen. That he went and fell at the feet of his master, who had called him back to life again. Verse 45, then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, believe on him. You know, John tells us why God inspired him to write. He did it so that we would believe in Jesus. And believing in Jesus, we would have eternal life through him. We see the power of Jesus to call the dead to life again. And I want to tell you tonight, we need to hear him. We need to believe him. And when we hear him and when we believe him, we can see his glory. John 17, 24, Jesus is praying. He says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovedst me before the foundation of the world. We hear him through his word, through his spirit. We have to choose whether to hear. We believe in him because we've heard his word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to choose to believe. But when we make those right choices day in and day out, we will see the glory of God. And we can long for that day that we'll get to be in his glory. Long for that day for the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He loves you. He has truth for you. But what are we going to do with that truth tonight? I'm going to ask you tonight, if you would, to stand with me, and we're going to get ready for a verse of invitation. The Master has come, calleth for thee. He's calling for you to be saved. He's calling for you to publicly identify with him through baptism. He's calling for you to put off the old man and to put on the new man. He's calling for you to walk in the Spirit, to walk in newness of life. He's calling for you to love him. He's calling for you to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow him. He's calling for you to be saved and to live like you're saved. When Mary heard that Jesus was calling, she ran to him and fell at his feet. You hear the Holy Spirit of God calling you tonight? What will your response be as we sing?